you, and that's okay. You can continue on in this moment. I just want to read to you from Psalm 143. We're going to pray this. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. And I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty lamb. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, Lord, from my enemies. You, in you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Father, we just thank you for this moment. Father, teach us. Just show us how to walk in your ways. I pray for a revival of spirits and souls today in this place, that we would be refreshed, that we would be renewed, that we would run and not grow weary, that we would move from glory to glory, that we would hold on to hope when we're in between glories, that we would keep our eyes on you, that we would look back on what you have done, that we would remember that you're still doing something and that you're going to do something, that you still deliver, just like you did in Egypt. Just like you did in Babylon. Just like you did on the cross, you still deliver. Holy Spirit, come right now in this place. We just pray, we beg of you, come, renew us, refresh us, make us like you, cause us to walk and not stumble, to move forward through the darkness. Let us not grow weary, but let us hold on and keep our eyes set on you. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I saw this psalm the other day, and it hit me because as I was reading it, this is what I try to pray over my kids. When I'm praying for my kids, I'm really just asking God, just help me. Just please help me, because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. God, just teach me. Show me the way I should go. Show me the way I should walk so I know how to lead my kids and my family, my wife, in the way we should walk as a family as we chase after you. That's my prayer. I just keep begging him, teach me how to walk in your loving kindness, in your ways. Teach me to do your will, verse 10, for you are my God, your spirit is good, lead me in the land of uprightness. Teach me to do your will. Last week I told you, just open up Proverbs and just start to gain wisdom this week. As you start to gain wisdom, his will become more apparent. It will become more obvious. It's a choice. Sometimes we just want God to do everything for us. Like really, sometimes I stop myself when I start to pray like this, because I'm just saying, God, just teach me. Just show me. Just make me do it, because I don't know how. But he's saying, you have to walk with me. You have to partner with me in this. We want him to grab our legs and move us one foot at a time in the path we should go. right? Like when we get frustrated and mad because we know things are just crashing around us, and we know really what's at the heart of everything crashing around us is because somewhere along the way, we just decided to do things our way and not his way. And so then we go back to him and we're like, God, you just show me. God, I'm yours. And we just want him to do it for us, to make us go that way. That's not love. You can program a robot and you can teach it what to do and what to say. You can teach artificial intelligence all these things, but you can't teach it love. Love is free. It's freely given. It's freely received. He doesn't want that from us. No. He wants us to partner with him and learn to walk in his ways with him together. And as we do, there's a reviving that takes place. Our spirit and our souls are lifted up as he leads us. As we let him lead, as we submit to him, he will lead us. He will guide us in the way. That's what he does. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's better if I go so that the Holy Spirit will come, so the helper will come. Because he will guide you into all righteousness. He'll guide you into all truth. It's better if I go. That makes no sense to us. Because if Jesus was just here, if we could just see him, if we could just hear him, if we could just grab out and reach out to his cloak, we just think, then I would believe. Then my faith would increase. No. He said, it's better if I go because now you have the helper. If you don't have the helper yet, you can do that. You can do that right now. You can just pray. Pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. I want you. Holy Spirit, fill me up. And the helper will come. He's a good father. He says, if you ask, he's a good father. He's going to give his children good gifts. If you turn to him and say, you're my father. You're my Lord. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Guess what? He's going to give you a great gift. He's going to give you the best gift ever. The Holy Spirit, he will come. James 4, verse 1. I read this last week, and I'm going to read it again. Because we're in this series, and I just felt like a couple weeks ago, the Lord just gave me this phrase. He said, it's a holy rebellion. But you can't have a holy rebellion without holy submission. James 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Some of you, you feel that right now. You feel torn, like in your body, you feel torn one direction, but you know you should go the other direction. There is war within you. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask wrongly. You keep asking for things. Some of you, you're here today and you've been asking God for these things and he hasn't given them to you yet. And you're like, why not, God? Like, I need this. It'll be good for me. It'll change my life. And he's saying, you can't even handle what I've given you right now. Some of you, you're here today and you're hungry for more. And he's just saying, you have to learn how to steward what I've given you right here, right now. If you can't steward this that I've given you, that I've trusted you with, then I can't trust you with more. It comes back to finances so often. Where our money is, our heart is. Jesus talked a lot about money. People don't like churches that talk about money, but guess what? Jesus talked about money. And we talk about it here because he wants your heart. That's where revival begins. It begins in the heart. But if you're still holding on to money, if you're still holding on to things, and then you just keep asking for more. And he's saying, you haven't even learned how to steward what I've given you. Because money, it's one of the simplest tests of obedience that he gives us. It's a simple test. He's saying, trust me with 10%. Because everything is his anyway. He's the Father. He's the Creator. Everything is his. Sometimes we think, oh, it's my job. I'm earning this. It's my money. No, he gave you breath. He gave you the breath of life. You wouldn't even be here today. You wouldn't have a job if he hadn't given you breath and given you life. So the least we can do is walk in obedience and say, I trust you with the 10. That's that first step of obedience. If you keep asking for more and he's not giving it to you and you're wondering why, look at what you're doing. Are you tithing? Are you even giving the first 10% to him? If not, then stop asking for more because it's a dumb question. It is. I know, some people don't like that. Wow, that's really hurtful. It's like, hey, I'm sorry, I love you. I love you too much not to tell you the truth. You keep asking for more. He wants to give you more, but he's saying, you got to pass this first test first. Show me that this isn't going to control your heart. Because if I give you more and you can't handle what I've already given you, it will destroy you and take you straight to the pit of hell. And he loves you too much. He loves you too much to give that to you. Because he wants heaven. That's why he died. That's why he sent his son for us. Because he wants heaven for you. He wants relationship for you. He doesn't want hell for you. So why would he give you more than you can handle? He's not going to. Steward what he's given you in this season and be faithful. Trust me, I know, because that's me. Like, there's times, like, I've gotten a prophetic word. I've gotten a vision for this house, this church that he wants to build all the way back at the beginning. And he's shown me visions of thousands. He's shown me rooms that are going to be huge. He's shown me stadiums that are going to be filled with people praising him. And I'm like, God, why aren't we there yet? I thought revival was going to sweep across Nebraska in year one. And then we end up in this small little building a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, God, this ain't it. This isn't what I saw. This isn't what I thought we were going to be doing. This isn't the ministry that you had given me a vision for. And he just keeps hitting me with, steward this space. Steward what I've given you right here, right now. And I just said, all right, Father. So while we're here, however long we're here, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see salvations. We're going to see people come to Jesus. In fact, on Easter Sunday, we're going to fill up the baptistry out here. We're going to find a space right out here out front. And when people are ready to give their lives to Jesus, it's going to happen. I'm believing it. We're going to see people come to Christ. We're going to see revival happen. We're going to see families change. We're going to see marriages saved. We're going to see kids grow up in the house of the Lord and learn to love him. We're going to see the front of this room. We're going to see the entire room jumping up and down unashamed as they praise and worship the Lord. Yeah. And just give him praise right here. Yeah, I love it. Give him praise. He's worthy. This isn't a house built on man. It's a house built on his presence. That's what he's doing. And that's what he's saying in this season. Steward what I've given you. And so every night of the week, we're going to learn how to fill this place and make this a place of his presence. We're going to see people lined up out here on this sidewalk waiting to get in on Sunday morning. We're going to learn how to steward this place. And then guess what? He's going to open the door for more. If you will steward what he's given you, he'll open the door for more. There's more in 24, all right? I'm telling you, I can rhyme all day. No, I can't. I only got a couple rhymes. That's it. But there's more in 24. But you have to learn to steward what he's given you right here and right now. And it might be scary. It might be terrifying to think what it looks like for you to step into a place of obedience. But it's a rebellion against the world's ways. It's a holy rebellion because you're saying, I'm going to follow his ways and not what everyone else is doing. I don't care if the world says I'm foolish. I don't care if the world is laughing at me. I don't care if my friends, my spouse, my coworkers, I don't care if they think I'm crazy, because I'm going to walk in holy rebellion as I walk in holy submission to him. James chapter 4. Look at James chapter 4. No, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. So if you keep asking for something and you're not seeing it, change the question. Ask him, God, where am I missing it? Where am I missing the mark that you've given me? Where am I missing the mark that you've shown me and that you've tasked me with? God, teach me your ways and not mine, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Some of us, we just want to be half in, half out. We like the world. We're kind of like, oh, I want to stay friends, but I also don't like the idea of going to hell. That sounds awful. And so that's more what it's about. If you're a friend with the world, you care more about not going to hell than chasing after God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But this is a chance for you to move away from that. Today's a chance for you to step out of that, to break up with the world, to say, we're not friends anymore. No. World, I've had my foot half in, half out with you. I'm taking it all the way back, and I'm giving everything to him. because I want to run after him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Not because we have to. This isn't about legalism. No. This is a return from when you're chasing after holiness. Holiness, that road of holiness, it's a narrow way. It's a narrow path. And there's two different ditches along that path. You can fall into legalism, where you become way too just, oh, if I just do this and do this, then I'm good enough and I can earn it. No, we can't earn anything. That's legalism. That's the way of the Pharisees. But then sometimes we veer out of that ditch and we overcorrect and we veer into the other ditch of lawlessness. And we say, oh, we got grace. We can live however I want. It feels good. Do it, right? And I got more and more grace, and so it's good. I'm tacking up more grace. It's like, no, you're missing the point. So veer back out of that ditch and get onto the road of holiness. Holiness is just chasing after him, pursuing him with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Don't fall into these ditches of legalism or lawlessness. The church, we tend to overcorrect sometimes. The path is narrow. Get back onto that path. Follow the Holy Spirit. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? You keep giving your time and your money and your talents to the world because the world kind of feels good. And in the world, there's a quick reaction. There's a quick turnaround. You can get a quick turnaround. In the kingdom, what you're doing is you're sowing seed and you have to wait for the harvest. That's kind of difficult sometimes. We don't really want to wait. But if we'll just chase after the world, guess what? Things will spring up quick. If we just invest our time in the world, we can get pleasure fast. We can get what we want fast, but it will not last. You can get what you want fast, but it will not last if it is the world's way and not his way. Chase him. He's worth it. The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. We don't think twice. We don't think twice about giving our money to the world. We don't. We'll spend $300 on a Taylor Swift or Olivia Rodrigo concert. I sound like hip because I know who Olivia Rodrigo is. We'll spend the money on the tickets and we won't even think twice about it. But when we come to church on Sunday and the pastor starts talking about tithing 10%, and you're like, you start adding that up, and you're like, well, shoot, I can't afford my Olivia Rodrigo tickets if I do that. That's friendship with the world. That is. That's, look at your priorities right there. And you can fill in the blank. It could be new tool, new golf driver, new TV, whatever it is. If you're putting that ahead of him, that small step of trust in him, you're missing it. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a very generous church. I love this church. This church, we were at a conference recently, and at this conference, they had a track for lead pastors, associate pastors, and Andrew and I are sitting there, and they're saying it a really good number to average, like per attendee of the church, like whatever you average on a Sunday is about $17 of giving per person. That's like really good. That's like a generous, like your church is doing really well. They're very generous. They're Christ-centered. They're like following the Lord. They're seeking after him. They're putting their money right where, like into the kingdom. And Andrew and I kind of looked at each other and I kind of started to run the math of what we average and how many people come on a Sunday. And we're closer to $30. We're almost double what the world says is good. This is a generous church. This is a generous church. So when you're in here today, don't feel like, oh man, he's coming down hard on me. No, I want to celebrate you. This is a generous church. But I'm telling you, some of you, he wants to level you up. I'm telling you because he wants to give you more. He does. But you got to steward what he's already given you. It's a blessing, not a curse. It's an I get to, not an I have to. I get to do this. I get to give to the kingdom. I get to invest my money, No, 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 not even my money. I get to invest the money he has trusted me with already. I get to invest it back into the kingdom. And I get to see salvations. I get to see healings. I get to see miracles. I get to see the Holy Spirit come into the room every week and set people free, deliver captives. That's what we get to pour into. And there's nothing greater. Oh, man. He loves you. He loves this house. This is a generous house. That's why this month, I told you at the beginning of the month, we're sowing a seed this month. And so when you go online, if you've never sown a seed with us, you can go on and you can pick general giving or you can pick seed offering. And we're sowing a seed this month and we're sowing it in to a relational network for churches in Uganda. And if you don't know what a relational network is, I'll just tell you. In this house, my wife and I, we are planted in a network called Next Level. And it's just pastoring for pastors. Because they want pastors to make it. They want pastors to finish the race. Pastors burn out and quit every year. We had a higher percentage of pastors quitting after COVID in 2020 than we've ever had in the history of the church. Well, I guess I don't know if they really kept track of that way back in the day. Since they began keeping track, all right? Pastors are burning out. And if pastors are burning out, the house, the church, it's left with an empty place. But God wants to raise up leaders that are going to last. Next Level, it's helped so much for Steph and I in this season of learning to run the race and learning what it means to pastor and shepherd and care for the sheep we've been entrusted with, to steward our time and our talents and our hearts over this house. This house is blessed by that house. And now we have the chance to sow a seed for pastors in Uganda to receive this same blessing so God can raise up more churches. And so this is a chance for us to go above and beyond generosity, to go above and beyond the tithe, to say, God, we trust you and we want to steward well what you've given us. And we know that as we sow a seed, we're going to reap a harvest. That's what happens. It's the law of the harvest. If you sow, you reap. He's going to continue to grow and bless this house. Galatians 6. Sometimes we just need that. We need that reminder of the harvest. We need that reminder of what his word actually says. Go to Galatians 6 really quick. Chapter 6, verse 7. I don't have this one up here. Make sure if you don't have a Bible, bring a Bible, get it on your phone, do whatever you got to do. We're always handing out free paper Bibles back there. Grab one on your way out today. If you're new and you fill out that text, 94,000, also stop at our table back there. We got a free gift for you. Chapter 6, verse 7, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant, what you sow, the seed that you sow. You're going to harvest that. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Some of you, you have sown seed. You've sown seed into this house. You've sown seed by faith. And the devil wants you to give up right now. You are at a place this week where you're like, it's not worth it to keep going on. You were at a place this week where you're like, what's the point? I'm not seeing it. I keep asking and I'm not seeing it. God, I just keep believing for it and I'm not seeing it. I'm telling you, at just the right time, he's coming through. That's a word. He's coming through. Don't give up. He's got it for you. It's coming. The devil can't steal anything from you. The only way the devil can win is if you give up. Because you are his and you walk in authority. You walk in Christ. But the devil is whispering lies to you constantly to get you to believe that it's not worth going on and it'd be better to quit. It'd be easier to quit. In fact, if you would just chase after the world, he'll give you everything. That's what he promised Jesus when he was up on the mountain and Jesus was looking out and he said, I'll give you this. I'll give you kingdoms. I'll give you rule. I'll give you everything that you came for. And Jesus could have had it right then and right now. But he said, no. I'm not doing it the world's way. I'm not going to be friends with the world. Because my Father's given me a task. And I'm going to steward my time well. I'm going to do what he's tasked me with. I'm going to do what he's called me to. I'm going to walk in obedience to his voice. Steward what he's given you, and you're going to reap a harvest. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. That's what this seed offering is all about. In Uganda, God is raising up churches, and these pastors, they need a spiritual covering in their lives. They need pastors in their lives. And so we're going to do good to the family of the faith in Uganda. That's what we're doing. It's a blessing that we get to do this. This church is blessed. And other churches are going to be blessed because we've been blessed. That's why everything you have in this world, it's a blessing from the Lord. And you've been blessed so you can be a blessing. You've been blessed so you can be a blessing, not a burden. If you feel like you're a burden right now, the Lord wants to turn that around. Some of you, you're here today and you feel like you're a burden. You feel like you're a burden to your spouse. You feel like you're a burden to your family. You feel like you're a burden to all these people in your life, and you just feel this weight. You feel like you don't matter. You feel like the world would be better if you weren't here. That's a lie from the devil. Whoever that is right now in this room, I'm just getting that from the Lord right now. You're not a burden. He puts you here at this time and this place for a reason. You're a blessing. Walk with him. Everybody's been wondering if I was ever going to preach on Esther. Right there. That's my window. Let's go to Esther. Let's go to Esther for such a time as this. Ooh, Lord. Chapter 3, verse 7. So in the month of April, during the 12th year of King Xerxes' reign, lots were cast in Haman's presence. The lots were called Purim to determine the best day and month to take action. And the day selected was March 7th, nearly a year later. Then Haman approached King Xerxes and said, "There is a certain race of people scattered through all the provinces of your empire who keep themselves separate from everyone else. Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king." Our laws are different than any other race of people, any other group of people. We are grafted into Israel. The law we follow, it looks different. And it should look different than the rest of the world. So right now, this country we live in a country where we can actively fight to change the law. And as believers, that's what we're called to do. We're going to fight to change the law. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. If this country takes a dramatic shift and it keeps going down a path of darkness, and they keep asking the church to conform and to look like the world, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what their laws say. If they don't line up with the word, if they don't line up with his law, that's the place of holy rebellion. That's the spot where we say, no, I'm submitted to the Lord. I'm submitted to his ways, and I'm going to follow in his path, not the world's. Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king. So it is not in the king's interest to let them live. If it please the king, issue a decree that they be destroyed, and I will give 10,000 large sacks of silver to the government administrators to be deposited in the royal treasury. Politics has been corrupt for thousands of years. It has. It's always been about the money. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the money says. It doesn't matter what the politicians say. All that matters is what his word says. The king agreed, confirming his decision by removing his signet ring from his finger and giving it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. The king said, "The money and the people are both yours to do with as you see fit." So on April 17th, the king's secretaries were summoned, and a decree was written exactly as Haman dictated. It was sent to the king's highest officers, the governors of the respective provinces, and the nobles of each province in their own scripts and languages. The decree was written in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the king's signet ring. Dispatches were sent by swift messengers into all the provinces of the empire, giving the order that all Jews, young and old, including women and children, must be killed. Including women and children. Slaughtered, annihilated on a single day. Sometimes we watch movies or we watch TV shows and we're like, that's crazy, that's absurd. Like God just hit me with this right now. Like I haven't seen this, but there's this movie called The Purge and people are just getting annihilated, slaughtered. I mean, he just hit me with that right now. Sometimes we just think like, no, like that'll never happen here. That day will never come. That day came for them. That day came for them. It was decreed by law that God's people, women and children also, could be killed and slaughtered and annihilated on this day. That was the law of the land approved by the king. A copy of this decree was issued as law in every province and proclaimed to all peoples so that they would be ready to do their duty. The people had a duty that day that they were appointed to. At the king's command, the decree went out by swift messengers, and it was also proclaimed in the fortress of Susa. Then the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa fell into confusion. Chapter 4. When Mordecai learned about all that had been done, he tore his clothes, he put on burlap and ashes, and he went out into the city crying with a loud and bitter wail. He went as far as the gate of the palace, for no one was allowed to enter the palace gate while wearing clothes of mourning. It's okay to get loud. Like as a believer, it's okay to get a little loud. It's okay to wail. It's okay to get a little crazy. In the name of the Lord, it's okay. Sometimes we just think, no. We're just supposed to kind of sit back and be good Christians and just sit in the corner and whatever the world wants to do, they can just do it. We shouldn't say anything. We shouldn't do anything. That's what they want. That's okay. And we've kind of been shamed as the church to just sit in the corner, sit down and shut up. No. Get loud. Get loud. There's a holy rebellion when you are wholly submitted to the Lord. As the news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning among the Jews. They fasted, wept, and wailed, and many people lay in burlap and ashes. I bet that looked ridiculous to everyone else. Look at all these people crying in the streets, wearing burlap, and they're weeping and wailing, and they're praying and fasting. I bet that looks stupid to the world. But what if the church would just take a step towards crazy? Just take a step towards stupid and just stop caring what the world said. When Queen Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. She sent clothing to him to replace the burlap, but he refused it. She was in a place of honor. She was the queen. And she's just trying to like, and this isn't to correct her, but this is all of our natural reactions sometimes. When we see another believer getting a little too loud, a little too crazy, we just kind of want to be like, no. Shh, put your clothes back on. I mean, you know, yeah, you're acting a little wild here. This isn't how we act. We kind of sit back here. We just kind of hide and we let everyone else do what they want to do. And even if we don't agree with it, we don't get loud. No, we just got to hide. Just blend in. Somewhere along the way, these last couple decades, we're just told as a church, we're just supposed to blend in. And we started to look more like the world than the church. We stopped looking like the church because we just wanted to blend in and just put our clothes back on. But I'm telling you, wear the burlap. Put the burlap on. I know that sounds crazy. Wear the burlap? What are you talking about? That's what they would do. They would put on burlap. And I'm telling you, they stood out in a crowd. People saw them. They knew. She sent clothing to him to replace the burlap, but he refused it. Then Esther sent for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed as her attendant. She ordered him to go to Mordecai and find out what was troubling him and why he was in mourning. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the square in front of the palace gate. Mordecai told him the whole story, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree issued in Susa that called for the death of all Jews. He asked Hathach to show it to Esther and explain the situation to her. He also asked Hathach to direct her to go to the king to beg for mercy and plead for her people. To intercede. Will you go and will you intercede on behalf of your people? So Hathach returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Then Esther told Hathach to go back and relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me to come to him for 30 days. So Hathach gave Esther's message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. Sometimes we just think, no, I can be excused. I can just kind of hide back here. No, don't think for a moment. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? You were made queen for such a time as this. You were born, each and every one of us in here, you were born for such a time as this. That person in here that you were believing you're a burden to somebody, no, you were born for such a time as this. God placed you here to be a blessing for somebody, to be a blessing in this world, to be a blessing in this house, to be a blessing to your family, to be a blessing to your spouse. I don't know what it is, but you were born for such a time as this. You were. You're not a burden. You're a blessing. Partner with the prophetic. Sometimes we get a prophetic word, we get a prophetic vision, and we just think, oh, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. No. You have to partner with the prophecy. That means you got to take a step. You got to take a step of submission, a step of trust, a step of faith. People have been prophesying over you. Some of you've received a prophetic word. Like somebody has told you, maybe at a prayer night, maybe at church on Sunday, somebody's given you a word and you just were like, yes, I want that for my life. I want that for my family's life. But then you've just kind of sat back and you've been waiting for God to do the work. And God is saying, no. I want you to partner with me in this. To partner with him means we got to take a step. Esther wanted it to happen. She did, but she had to take a step of faith. She wanted her people to be saved, but it would mean taking a step of faith. It would mean taking a step of faith and partnering with him in holy submission. Some of us, we just want it to happen. We just want to sit back and we just want to see, like, man, I want to see God do everything. And he's saying, no, you got to partner with me. I'm not going to do the work for you. You got to walk with me. You want to see this vision that I've shown you? It can't happen unless you choose to start walking with me. So stand up and walk. Stand up and take a step today. There's somebody, you just need to take a step today. You might not even know. It might not even be the right one, but you just need to start taking steps forward. You need to start walking with him. And you might mess up and you might fall and you might fall on your face, but at least you're falling forward. It doesn't matter. At least you're falling forward today. You're not sitting anymore. God can use our mistakes more than he can use our refusal to move. If you refuse to move, if you refuse to partner with him, you're going to miss out because you were born for such a time as this. But if you refuse to move and step into what you were born for, he'll raise up somebody else. That's what Mordecai tells her. If you keep quiet in a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. If it's not you, it's going to come from some other place. But God is giving you the opportunity. He's given you the chance today. It's an opportunity. Stop looking at it like I have to. Oh, God wants me to do this. I don't want to do this. No. You get to do this. It's an opportunity. And if you don't do it, he'll raise up somebody else that will. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. If you don't know what to do, just start fasting. Prayer and fasting. Go to him. Draw near to him. That's how we draw near to him. Pray and fast. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. If I die, I die. If I die, I die. And right now we think, that's not us. That's not here in America. We don't know what's coming. I believe there's revival happening right now. In fact, that's why we started this church. I'm fighting for revival. I'm believing for revival because I believe this nation, this country isn't too far gone. But I believe if we stop fighting for revival, the darkness is going to get darker. So we keep fighting for revival. We keep fighting to walk in the light, to walk in obedience, to walk by his voice. Because we don't want to remain silent. Otherwise, we'll miss out on what we were born for. We were born for such a time as this. And if we don't keep fighting for revival, he's going to raise up somebody else that will. There's a revival happening in this country right now. Worship team, you guys can come up as we get ready to close. If I die, I die. God is looking for a submitted partner. He's looking for someone that will trust him, that will submit to him, that will die to self. Because to die to self, we have everything to gain. 1 John 2:5-6, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to obey his commands. John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commandments. We're veering out of the ditch of lawlessness. And we're not going into legalism. No. We're going to walk the path of holiness. We're getting back onto the path he's called us to walk in obedience to his voice, fully submitted to him, submitted to his word, because that's where a holy rebellion begins. It's in holy submission to him. And he's looking for a holy, submitted partner to walk with him. And that means we begin to submit our lives to his word. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" You can do all the religious things. You can do all the things. But it doesn't matter. He just wants you to be obedient. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Will you submit to him today? Let's stand up, church. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Would you just close your eyes? First of all, if you've never given your life, if you've never submitted to him and you want to do that today, just put your hand up wherever you're at. If you want to submit your life to him today, you can do that today. Don't wait another second. Just say, "Lord, I submit everything to you. Everything I have is yours. I want to walk in obedience. I don't want to walk by religion anymore. I want to walk in obedience to your voice. Everything I have is yours, Lord." Father God, I just pray that you would prepare in our hearts, prepare us and get us to a place where whatever we face in this world, we can stand there and we can partner with you and we can move forward by faith, even if it looks crazy, even if it looks ridiculous to everyone and everything around us. But we'll partner with you in holy submission. Lord, teach us to walk in your ways and get to a place where we can say someday, "If I die, I die. It doesn't matter. Because to live is Christ, to die is gain." That's what we believe in this house. Father, teach us to walk as holy submitted partners with you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to worship in this moment. After worship, we've got a baby dedication today. But if you need prayer, if you need ministry, if you just want to recommit to walking in holiness, you can find our prayer team along the back wall back there. He's just looking for submission. He's looking for obedience. He's not looking for a sacrifice. He's not looking for religion. Take a step today. Go forward with him.